are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, dude, did you play Kick the Can when you were a kid?
Yes, and many other games. Awesome. But yeah, or some iteration. Spotlight was a big one that we did.
Oh yeah, I'd forgotten about Spotlight.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was yeah.
I mean, we're of an era when you just went outside. You went out and you did something like just running around doing something imaginative.
Built forts off of whatever materials you could find, and yeah, no way they would pass any zoning laws these days. Don't send the inspector out to inspect
but
our
you
fort.
Were proud of them and you'd be willing to sleep in it that night.
Oh
too.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Build a fort. Mom, can we sleep in the fort? I mean, yeah. Absolutely. And yes, I did have those Backyard Olympics. That was a thing. More than once I organized a Backyard Olympics and had neighborhood kids over that, and I named the events, and I was the judge. and then I'd get my allowance out and I go, "Okay, grand prize is you get $1.25." And then you win 75 cents. And then
So did you translate that to mandatory fun days in the Army?
No. Mandatory fun days. We didn't have to mandatory. We just had fun because we were there.
Gotcha.
Nice. Hey, text lines are open, by the way. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Call it in or text it in. I would appreciate you giving me some feedback. I would like to know, too, how many people out there played Kick the Can, because as I was typing this monologue up, I was like having these major flashbacks. So yeah, my cousin's house. They lived in Pleasant Grove down in near the Birmingham area, Jefferson County. And I can just tell you, we'd get up and we'd out there for 2 or 3 hours playing Kick the Can. No telling how many hours. John from Montsville just texted in. What'd he say? He says, "Phil, I think I should start my own taco restaurant called Juan Pablo's Perfect Tacos." I like it. His name is John Paul, so Juan Pablo's. It's yeah. There's no cultural appropriation. That's fine. You do that, Juan Pablo. With the catchphrase, "With your taste buds, we'll always be saying A triple plus." There it is. It says, "Phil, loved your monologue. Reminded me of one of my favorite Twilight Zone episodes where a bunch of senior citizens started playing a game of Kick the Can, and by doing so, they literally became young kids again." I did not recall this.
I haven't seen that one.
But it sounds like a creepy version of Twilight Zone. I want to know then what happened when they stopped playing. Did they stop playing and get old all of a sudden?
I don't know. I am a little fearful that I would throw my back out if I went to play Kick the Can days.
This was a long time ago.
Yes.
This was before Tylenol became a steady part of my diet. Yeah, text it in or call it in. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff today that I'm sure is going to generate some feedback. And you're going to want to stay tuned because we have that conversation with Eric Johnston coming up at the top of the hour. He's a solid guy. I've had a chance to work with Eric on a number of things. He's actually one of the ones that I mentioned yesterday that I had given an award to somebody when I was at API. Well, we started an award program that they're still doing called the Policy Warrior Award. And Eric Johnston is one of those because of his basically lifetime achievements of fighting for pro-life issues in the state of Alabama. Well, he's got some concerns about things that are coming up right now about the over-sexualization of children and what we need to be looking at in terms of potential legislation. But he's also, oh, by the way, got some concerns about how it might translate into our Supreme Court races here in the state of Alabama. By the way, don't lose sight of that. I mean, it's not the judicial races are not always the sexy races. They're not like the ones going, "Man, I can't wait to vote for Chief Justice," or "I can't wait to vote for Circuit Court Judge." But you have no idea how much that means. And so, yeah, we'll be talking to Eric Johnston about some of this stuff all at the top of the hour, in conjunction with number one of the Triple Dipper, which I'll kick off here in a moment, called Denying Reality. 1 minute to go, and Jeff from Indiana real quickly just texted in and says, "Phil, I'm afraid the government has stomped the can into the ground so much that we can't kick it." No, man, it's them doing the kicking. We're the ones having to do the running because they keep sneaking up behind us and kicking it. Lewis from Trinity on that Twilight Zone thing, he says, "No, they did not get old again, but the one who refused to play stayed old, And they all came out of the woods and looked at him as though he was very strange, and they ran away. He begged them to come back. That's just freaking creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one guy who didn't play. JT Lacey Springs says, I never played Kick the Can, but there was a 3-acre sledge brush field about 3 feet tall. Moonlit nights, we played hide and seek. That's good stuff, man. See, I just feel like there's a whole generation of, maybe they do more than I know, but I feel like there's a whole generation of kids that just missed out because they weren't building forts and sweating all day and riding their bikes around the neighborhood. It's just memories, dude. Just memories. All right, coming up next, there's a whole progressive left effort to deny reality. And we'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. I'm talking about y'all. Woo. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so number one, triple dipper, denying reality. Like, why? Well, okay, I get that there are people that want to say, well, I just think it's okay if we do. I'm not approving of it, but I understand it when they do. It's another thing entirely, though, when someone says, no, I'm sorry, we've rewritten everything. We've rewritten science. We've rewritten the English language. We've just rewritten. You just have to get on board now. Excuse me? You don't get the option of creating your own reality and telling me I have to live in it. But that's what happens on a regular basis right now. And if you look around, it's the most topsy-turvy bunch of crap I've ever seen. Let me just go ahead and state unequivocally, in case you didn't know where I stand. Men don't get pregnant. Men can't become women. Women can't become men. There is no such thing as gender fluid. He and her and she and him and all the other pronouns, they actually go to a gender assignment that comes when you are born as opposed to when you decide. And oh, by the way, Z and Zer is not real. And don't ask me my pronouns, because my pronouns are whatever the by God English language says they're supposed to be, period. Now that I've had my mini rant, let me just jump into some stuff here and tell you. I'll tell you what kicked this off for me. It was a story on Red State, and it literally denies reality. So, story here on Red State, picked up on, I think it came out yesterday. It did, December 11th. It says, a Seattle-based student learned the hard way that biology need not apply once a school district has gone woke. According to the student's mother, the 10th grader failed a quiz as part of an ethnic studies world history course because he acknowledged biological reality. So first of all, why is an ethnic studies world history course asking questions about whether or not men can get pregnant? Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because you have an activist teacher at that point. That's the only reason. There is no ethnic studies world history course that requires you to inquire about a student's perception of whether or not men can get pregnant. It goes on to ask, too, whether or not certain male body parts are only for biological men to have. I mean, And so here's the thing. The questions revolved around this stuff. The student gave what would be considered technically correct answers. The teacher gave the student a failing grade. A failing grade. A failing grade for saying men cannot get pregnant. This is not like some, you know, some gay bar where they sit around and talk about it and they go, I would just tell them, man. No. This is school. This is learning. This is, oh, by the way, affecting a kid's GPA. Who knows what that does? What does that one quiz even mean? I mean, I don't know. Was that a balance of his grade? Was there some final exam here? But you look at it and go, okay, many of the questions focused on personal pronoun use in an ethnic studies world history course. Yeah. It wanted to know, are transgender people gay? It wanted to know things that are, you know, basically like about body parts. Ethnic studies world history course. Here's the thing. What this means is, and the article points it out, that there are schools in the United States of America that are handing out failing grades to students because they simply refuse to affirm the false idea that a man can become pregnant. The student's mother, says in the article, expressed astonishment that such a treatment is even allowed in public schools. But then it says, if anyone thought this was just one rogue teacher, think again. Because the school district then put out a statement showing support for the quiz. And double down with a bunch of diversity and inclusion, you know, word vomit stuff. So Seattle Public Schools, here's a quote. Seattle Public Schools is dedicated to establishing inclusive environments that allows exploration of contemporary issues, specifically examining the impacts of power systems such as racism and patriarchy. This commitment extends to fostering welcome and inclusive settings where students, staff, and families have the freedom to express their authentic selves. So just so you know, it's not authentic to have a ethnic studies world history test and ask a kid whether or not men can get pregnant and then fail the kid if he answers biologically correctly. I assume that the same school district actually teaches biology. What do they do in that class? I mean, here's the conflict, all right? When you deny reality like this, you look at it and go, okay, wait a minute, wait. If a kid fails his ethnic studies world history test because he says that men can't get pregnant, aside from the fact that shouldn't have been on the test in the first place, does he go down the hall and answer the question the same way in a biology class and then pass that test? And then does he go down the hall to his English class where they teach, I hope, grammar, and he learns the use of pronouns and how pronouns are applied? Do they change the rules in all three classes to make them congruent? Or do we have a conflict within the same school because an activist teacher is allowed to put together a test that denies reality? Y'all, that's a messed up situation. You talk about jacking up your kids. I look at it and think this is a major jackassery moment right here. Hit me some jackassery there, Butters. You got some jackassery over there? I think it's important right now. There it is. Wow. So let me stop what I'm doing and take a call. Is that Sparky on line one? Sparky from Harvest is on line one. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Great show. I believe what these teachers in that particular school are doing is called dereliction of duty.
Oh, yeah.
And as a military people, we're familiar with that term. But a couple years ago, I had discussions with Dale on the radio about, at the time, the egregious dishonesty that was coming out of government at the time, the Obama administration, and the news media running top cover for just constant, unbelievable dishonesty. And I worried back then about the long stream downrange effect on our kids when integrity and honesty don't matter anymore, and outrageous dishonesty accompanied by power and celebrity become celebrated. And here we are.
Yeah.
Here's school systems that are teaching it, pushing down the kids' throats a grotesque dishonesty, biological dishonesty, and intellectual dishonesty. And think about it. Now, let's go further downstream. if you can get away with mandating dishonesty like this, that men can get pregnant and that gender doesn't matter, you can make up your own gender. Think about how heady the people in the school systems will become with power when everything in the manner of truth and integrity becomes fluid.
Oh yeah.
And what I say is true, and you better believe it because I'm the one that's going to give you a passing grade. That is chilling. I mean, it is Orwellian in how horrifying that is to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I did a monologue, I think it was last week. It was called In the Gray Zone, and talked about how liberals really want you to lose absolutes. They don't want black and whites. They want you to be in the gray so that way they can redefine reality as they get the notions, you know, and they do it on a regular basis. So living in the gray is where they're trying to get these kids. It's all gray. Nothing's absolute. You're just go ahead and accept the fact that it's fluid. Fluid just means it's in the gray zone.
That's terrifying. I celebrate the school systems that are out there, and Alabama has plenty of them, where they reject all of this woke nonsense, and they refuse to tell lies in biology class, let alone any other class. And good on you teachers out there who are listening right now who refuse to fall into the woke agenda, because it's a cancer. Yeah. We can't let it spread.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you. Thanks, Park. Yeah, good call. I'll tell you this one for the break, too. Denying reality. All right, so if you're not familiar, 1819 News, right here in Alabama, there was a Christmas drag show in Albertville. Now, granted, this was not at a school. It was not designed to be at a children's library reading books to kids. So take heart in that regard. However, it caught a lot of local attention. It was called the Holly Jolly Drag Show in Albertville. It occurred last Friday night. And like 200 people turned out for it. 200 people turned out because it gained a lot of local notoriety. I think they would have had a much slimmer crowd, except that it caught the news cycle and people were like, well, I got to go see this. Well, there were people that were going to go protest too, but the protest wound up pretty much not happening. I read the article and, you know, okay, it's at a bar called, was it Legends, I think? So it's at the Legends Bar, okay. Legends Bar is in a storefront in a shopping center. I saw a picture of it. There's a Papa John's pizza right next to it, you know, whatever. The organizer just bragged about how we stood toe-to-toe with the Catholics, the Baptists, and many other organizations. And then she quotes scripture in her favor, saying, Exodus 14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. I'm pretty sure that's a misconstruing of the intent of that particular passage. But let me just point this out. The part that caught my attention, the part that got, for the most part, no commentary in the article, and I need to actually ask 1819, can they follow up on this? It says that there were a number of local faith leaders and others who had planned on having a protest, and they wound up instead going and having prayer gatherings in other places, and they said it wound up being very, very, you know, meaningful. However, here's the line. You ready? One line. They had planned an official protest of the event, but they decided to cancel it after the owners of the Crossroads Mall, where the event was taking place, told the police to trespass any protesters. Meaning you could walk on the property and go to any store, go to the Legends Bar if you wanted to. You could do anything else on the property. You could park your car or walk across the street to somewhere else. But if you were there to have your First Amendment rights to protest, they were not going to put up with it, and they wanted the police to arrest you. Keep in mind, what we're talking about here is a Crossroads Mall in the community of Albertville, Alabama, literally asking the police to not allow anybody to have an alternate say in a situation that was taking place on those same grounds. And so I look at this and go, it's not all out in Seattle, y'all. It's not all out in New York City. It's not in San Francisco. It's not up, you know, in Chicago. This is Albertville, Alabama, up on Sand Mountain in Marshall County, right here in the northeastern sector of the state, salt of the earth people. And they're told they're not allowed to come and and it would have been a peaceful protest. Do you think for a second that a bunch of church people were going to BLM the place and burn it down? No. It was going to be folks gathering to pray and probably having some signs and maybe somebody speaking over a microphone and telling people that, you know, stand up for what you believe in. But they were denied that opportunity because the police were asked to count anyone who was there to protest as a trespasser. Never mind that anybody else could be on the property. Never mind that the same people, what if they had showed up and just walked around and not actually organized their protest? Would that have been allowed? Apparently not. I think the owners of Crossroads Mall in Albertville, Alabama, need to answer the mail on this one. Why won't you allow someone to have a counter opinion? Why? What were you so scared of? But yeah, denying reality, it's not just out there. It's here. Yeah, bro, let's take it to a break. We'll take the break right now. We'll come back and take this down the road a little bit further. I got more, man. We're talking about people denying reality. Actually denying reality. And then top of the hour, Eric Johnston calling in. We'll talk some more with him. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just look, denying reality is the topic of this dipper, and we're going to have a conversation in a few minutes, leading down that road a little bit with Eric Johnston from the Southeastern Law Institute. But like, here's the thing: here's a story. This drives me crazy. This one came from Fox, dated yesterday. Two Christian teachers, one of whom is a devout Roman Catholic, the other is an evangelical Christian. They are right now having to take legal action against the school district they work for. They both worked at Rincon Middle School in the Escondido Union School District, right, in California. They both requested a religious accommodation because the district was requiring, or was because the district was not requiring parental notification for kids who said they wanted to be transgender at school. In other words, lie to the parents. Well, so these two teachers are like, okay, first of all, my faith doesn't go with the transgender thing. And oh, by the way, just as a matter of faith and decency, I'm not gonna be lying to the parents. I'm just not. And God forbid, teachers, you should never be put in that position. I mean, my family is filled up with teachers. And despite the fact that I can't stand the teachers union, I love educators. And they should never be put in the position of, hey, kids doing this thing, but don't tell mom and dad.
Well, why would you want that liability? Doesn't that just open the...
That's just it. It's not liability in California. It's the law. The liability is by telling the parents, believe it or not.
That's nuts.
That is beyond nuts, dude. That is just... First of all, that's like next level awful. It's end of times crap. But then you look at it too and also think it's also just completely disrespectful. And oh, by the way, they're claiming, rightfully so, it could very well be a violation of their religious liberties. Hmm. So they're suing. How do you like it now?
Good for them.
That's what I say. Sometimes
attorneys are useful.
Well, thank you. I feel gooder now. One of the things that also really bothered us, they said, was that there was also a disciplinary part of this policy. If we didn't follow it, we could be written up, even leading to firing. And that's where I was like, okay, this is wrong. These two teachers have decades of teaching experience, and they're now on administrative leave because they refused to comply with the district's policy of lying to the parents. You refuse to lie to the parents, and you get disciplined. This is not just a denial of reality. This is a denial of all that is good and decent. It says on this past Wednesday, this is last week, story came out yesterday. On this past Wednesday, the teachers moved to hold the school district in contempt of federal court after the school refused to allow the teachers to safely return to work after more than 6 months of being on administrative leave. Dude, they've been on administrative leave for 6 months because they don't want to lie to the parents of the kids that they're called to teach. Unbelievable.
You know, we talk a lot about the recruitment issue in the military.
Yeah.
I wonder what the numbers are like for getting new teachers.
Oh, they're rough. They are. I mean, there's a shortage. And then God help you if you need teachers in the STEM fields, that's even worse. Just to take that little segment right there. But in Alabama, you don't have to deal with that. But in places like California, if you're a good, solid educator and you just want to teach kids the basics of what it takes to succeed in the world of education, you know, good study habits, quality work ethic, reading, writing, arithmetic. Oh, by the way, things that are actually real. Why would you want to teach in California, or for that matter, teach in Seattle? They are just denying reality.
Yeah. Life's already hard enough, and teaching kids is, a challenge.
Yeah.
Let's make it harder.
Yeah, especially teaching middle school. That's, woo, woo.
God bless them.
Yeah, that's a calling. That's a special calling. That's hazardous duty right there. All right, listen, we're going to come right back with a conversation with Eric Johnston from the Southeast Law Institute. Y'all stand by. We will be right back. Side rough.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios for hour number two. I'm talking about we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and yeah, like the dude just said, we cover down on all of it. Solid conservative and just plain right. Going to bring on a friend of mine, somebody who I've had the pleasure of working with in Montgomery. Eric Johnston and I first met some years ago working on pro-life legislation. Eric has a long, long history in Montgomery of being an advocate for pro-life and conservative policy issues. He's the president and CEO of the Southeast Law Institute. He's also the head of the Alabama Pro-Life Coalition, and he's a practicing attorney. And I had the honor just a few years ago of giving him an award when I was at the Alabama Policy Institute called the Policy Warrior Award to recognize his years of service standing in the gap for conservative policy issues, especially pro-life. Anyway, all that to say, let me stop talking and bring on Eric Johnston. Hey, sir, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Phil, and I'm sitting here looking right at that nice little award you gave me. That's very meaningful. Thank you.
Well, outstanding. It was well earned, well deserved, and probably too long in the coming. So glad you're still in the fray too.
Well, that award is kind of related to what we want to talk about today. So.
Well, it is, and I've been on this. This I call them the triple dippers of the day. So the first dipper was called Denying Reality, talking about all these things that are being thrust into our kids' schools and everything else. And you've got some notions about potential legislation for the coming year. Tell me what's on your mind.
Well, I've been talking to legislators. Of course, last year there was some proposals, but in the off season we discussed several things that need to be done to deal with this newest thing in the LGBTQ+ agenda, and that's the transsexual issue. And the kids being told, the small kids being told and taught out of books that have graphic sexual depictions in them and so forth, the issue with the library association, all of these issues have come up, and it's the pushing this agenda of orienting children, I think, in the wrong way, in the way most parents don't agree with. And there's some bills that are being considered for that. The sex education bill, this is probably going to be a bill filed to update that law to make it more pertinent to today's culture and what's happening. I think there's efforts to get Alabama out of the American Library Association.
Yeah.
There may be some legislation related to that. Where another thing that's probably pretty in-depth is back in the late 80s, we passed the Alabama Anti-Obscenity Enforcement Act. And that law was used by Attorney General Jimmy Evans at the time to clean up the adult bookstores and theaters. Everybody's got to remember that at one time in our history, we did not have the Internet. You had to go somewhere to buy obscene and pornographic material. And it's very similar to the situation we've got right now, to what's going on in the schools and on the Internet and the issues that come up. One of the other ones is Chris Sells had a bill last year to put a safeguard on mobile devices to keep children from accessing pornography. And that bill did not pass.
Yeah.
I think in the darkness, in the back rooms, the media people were working against it. I feel like those people were connected to the human trafficking and the porn industry. That bill needs to come back up. I mean, this probably a week doesn't go by that the Wall Street Journal does not have an article about how Meta and other online tech things have failed to protect children from these kinds of pedophilia and so forth. So these are the kind of bills that I hope are coming up this year, and we'll be testifying about those, the constitutionality of those,
yeah.
The First Amendment speech rights and so forth. It's a pretty complex issue, but those are the things, among others, that we're really concerned with, because this is kind of front burner stuff that we're having to deal with.
Well, you know, I look at some of the things you just cited there, Eric, and it's one of those where if you stand back and you try to be objective, you would say we're a Republican supermajority legislature with a Republican governor on issues that poll extremely high. They would face virtually no blowback from their constituencies for passing some of the legislation you just described. And yet, for some reason, those things wind up getting backroomed, like you said, and they become quote unquote controversial for reasons that no one ever intended. But at the same time, look around the world, and this is red state Alabama. We don't have to be California. In fact, we're not. And I would hope that some of what you just described can actually come to fruition.
Well, I do too. I think it's a good chance. I mean, some of it's been a lot of groundwork late getting to it. And there's already good things there. I mentioned a moment ago the Alabama Anti-Obscenity Enforcement Act. I think just some very minor tweaks to that law will cover the drag queen issue. And people say, well, you know, there's an exception in there for libraries. Well, the exception says for educational purposes. And I think, you know, if you look at the way that that law is set up, it's a principle that's probably 60 years old that the United States Supreme Court said obscenity is this. And then for the minors, it's called harmful to minors. This is the test. And that test is constitutional. And you know the way that test works is if, I'll make an example, say you have a small library like, you know, down in Prattville, they were having problems with some of this literature. If the DA of Autauga County would prosecute the people in the library for putting that obscenity out, that harmful to minors out, a jury of people in Autauga County would decide whether it violated the law or not. I think that gets around the First Amendment speech issues if they keep harping about saying, oh, it's a free speech right. You got to let them do it. Harmful to minors is a constitutional standard. Apply that standard. And if the local DA won't do it, Steve Marshall can do it, just like Jimmy Evans
That's
did
right.
when he cleaned up Birmingham where all these smut places were.
Well,
you know, it's got criminal penalties. People go to prison for it.
I look at this, too, and I hate to try and sound like I'm applying common sense to the law or, to that matter, to culture. But you have to look at it, though, Eric, and go, why would you not want to pass these laws? What? And oh, by the way, how about those of you that want these books in the libraries? Why do you want them in the library? That question does not get asked very often, and it irritates me because I feel like that's the underlying issue that needs to be addressed. Why do you want this stuff in the children's sections? Why do you want it in a children's class? What is your aim here? And I think if we really got them to say it, the whole world would sit back on their heels.
Well, I think they would. And I think if they do the right thing, that it'll bear positive results. It'll clean up stuff. Going back to what Evans did, the last case that Jimmy Evans had was against a major pornographer who was doing business in Montgomery County. And he had him in court, and I think the fine was like $250,000 in a prison sentence. And he told the guy, if you get out of Alabama and all the stores in Alabama, I'll let you out of prison. But the guy left and didn't, and that stuff never came back. That's the kind of thing we need to have people stand up and do the right thing, and these legislators need to do that and not listen to the library people harp on and on about the First Amendment, because this is not First Amendment protected speech. This is things that is harmful to minors, and parents realize that, and I think people get caught up in all of the political discussion, all the cultural discussion, and they just got to look at look at the materials, and I think they'll say this is bad stuff, and we need to do something about it.
Well, here's the next piece of the discussion, too, Eric, and maybe you're going to head down this road, but you know what'll happen. If we can get some of this passed, some of them, maybe all of them, will immediately be challenged by folks like the ACLU and the SPLC and some of the LGBTQ rights organizations. And they'll come in and they'll try and take it straight on through, some in federal court, but also some in state court. And who's in those courts matters.
Well, that's true. And I'll give you a good example of how it works. Back in 2014, I think it was, I was one of the lawyers who represented Alabama Policy Institute, and ALCAP, in the case that challenged Alabama's marriage law that said marriage is between one man and one woman. Of course, this was part of the agenda of the LGBTQ plus people, and that was in the Alabama Supreme Court where that decision was made. And the Alabama Supreme Court wrote a beautiful opinion saying that it was constitutional. Unfortunately, the U.S. Supreme Court, led by Justice Kennedy, wrote a very bad opinion, and the Obergefell opinion, and struck down all the marriage laws. But that was an Alabama Supreme Court case. Some of these laws that we're talking about very well will end up before the Supreme Court. And that kind of reminds me of another thing that, and you know, it's one thing to get laws passed, but then they got to be litigated. Of course, that's the obligation of the state. The Attorney General does that. So, you know, you got to have a good foundation for the laws, but then you got to have judges who respect those laws. And doing the research on the judges that are running, I mean, we're having a turnover of judges that were my contemporaries now are retiring. They're too old to stay there, like Mike Bolin, good friend. I went to high school with Mike, you know, long time. You count on Mike to understand and apply the law properly, but he's not there anymore. But the one race that really bothers me is the Chief Justice race with Sarah Stewart. And I think Brian Taylor and maybe somebody else running for that race. But the thing I wanted to mention is concern for Sarah Stewart because of some things in her past that may color her interpretation of the laws that we're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got about a minute and a half. So what has she ruled on in the past that makes you concerned?
Well, it's back in the mid-'80s. She was the president of the Student Government Association, University of Arkansas.
Okay.
The question came up about permitting an on-campus gay rights organization, and she supported it. She vetoed a piece of legislation by the Student Senate that would said they could not come on campus. We don't want to recognize this aberrant lifestyle. She vetoed that legislation by them and said, I'm going to quote from her, whether or not one likes or approves of homosexuality, it does exist, and is perceived as a threat, perhaps by those who, for some odd reason, feel their own sexuality is threatened. It's discrimination against the homosexuals. I ran a separate case about that same time where I represented the Auburn SGA when they did the right thing and they refused a gay and lesbian organization to be an on-campus organization. It ended up in court. Ultimately, you know, the college, just like some of these liberal Ivy League colleges are doing now, they required the Student Government Association to recognize the group because of pressure. But it's that kind of thing that concerns me, that our state courts will not continue to make proper rulings and protect, in this case, the minors from very bad materials.
Well, so we're pretty much out of time, Eric. But I guess the summation there is, Sarah Stewart is running to be Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. She'll have a massive say in things that could possibly come her way on the same type of legislation you just proposed. And she's got a pretty much soft on the issue stance from days past when she was in student government, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about. You have a prosecution under the Anti-Obscenity Enforcement Act on harmful to minors and some of this literature in the libraries and the schools. It comes before the Supreme Court, and the jury has found that it was harmful to minors, and she steers it in a different direction because you have to recognize it. That's the kind of thing that bothers me. It's the way of our culture these days and the current that's sweeping these things through. And, you know, you got to look at all the aspects. You got three branches of government that you got to be careful of in each one.
Yeah. Well, Eric Johnston, as always, you put it down where the baby goats can get to it, man. I really appreciate your work over the years, and thank you for being on today.
Well, thank you, Phil. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll talk again soon. All right. I ran long on purpose because that was good doings, but we'll sum that up when we come back. That was Eric Johnston. He's been a long-time advocate for conservative legal policies and working with the legislature. And, yeah, I mean, guys, he has been there and done that. In the meantime, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just okay, we're going to wrap up this segment, denying reality, but I got to tell you a couple more stories. So you heard, by the way, you heard Eric Johnston talking about the fact that here in Alabama, your state legislature could very well have several bills in front of it that make a difference in cases like what we're discussing. And don't for a second think that if we don't have a whole lot of that in Alabama, why do we need a law? Half of what we do in the legislature is considered preemptive in nature, all right? And you sometimes you see things coming and you go ahead and say, whoa, 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 put up the firewall. We don't want that coming here. And that's important. That's an imperative, actually. And there were times when I would float conservative legislation and I would get excoriated. Oh, you're just trying to put out a solution for a thing that's not even really a problem. Well, how do you like me now? As I had the very first bathroom bill that no one wanted to sign on to about 7 years ago and got excoriated for it. But then how do you like me now? It's just wacky. Like this one. The story, I actually touched on this the other day, but I got to bring it up again real quick. How about this? Parents in Jefferson County, Colorado, sent their 11-year-old on a school field trip and found out after the fact that the daughter was required to sleep in the same bed with a boy who claims he's a girl at 11 years old. 11. Super uncomfortable. Told her chaperone she was uncomfortable. Didn't want to be there. Tried to find a way to change things. They told her, don't make a scene. Just say you want to sleep closer to the air conditioner and move to another bed. Except then that the boy wanted to also sleep closer to the air conditioner. And guess what? At some point, she felt trapped. The chaperone wasn't listening. The chaperone was doing the, don't make a fuss, don't make a scene. Yeah. How about this? Make a friggin' scene. It's a child. You make the scene. If you see somebody beating a child in a restaurant, you just go ahead and make a scene. If you see somebody molesting a child or you think someone's being trafficked, you just make a scene. And yet you're a chaperone on a trip and you're denying reality and saying, well, I mean, the boy thinks he's a girl. We don't want to cause a fuss. Don't say anything. Just don't make a scene. Make the friggin' scene. Last one I've got, and I've got a couple more, but I'm not going to get to all of them. But here's the thing. During a recent House Oversight Committee story here on Fox News, the Democrats brought in someone who represents an organization called the National Women's Law Center, who went on to demean the experience of women who are forced to compete against biological males. and suggested that they need to, quote, learn to lose gracefully. You know what? You just need to learn to lose gracefully. Well, we do. Athletes learn all the time what it means to win and what it means to lose. You win with humility, you lose with grace. And then there's getting it stolen from you. Because people who don't know how to just say no and are willing to deny reality let things happen that put everybody else at risk. I'm just telling you, folks, this madness has got to stop. It's got to stop. And no, I am not saying if you want to go live your life some way that is different than what I believe, you're welcome to it. But do not force it upon everybody else, like 11-year-old kids on a school field trip, like middle school kids taking a, you know, ethnic studies world history class. It's unbelievable. Like kids in a public library. Stop the madness. Quit denying reality. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I'll tell you who else covers down on some major ground. That's our friend Jeff from Indiana. Jeffro, are you on the road? How you doing, buddy?
I am always on the road, Phil. it seems that way anyhow.
I know it to be true, but you probably know every pothole and knotted up tree and roadside sign everywhere along the road, don't you?
And I know where every Bucky's is at.
Every Bucky's. That's right.
That's right.
What's on your mind, man?
Hey, we're going to have to start tagging these schools, the Board of Miseducation. I mean, this is just crazy about this kid, you know, and everything that they gave him a grade that he said that men can't get pregnant, and yeah, they come out against him.
Yeah. Not just the teacher; really, the whole school district came out against him.
Exactly that, and that's what I'm talking about. This has really opened my eyes. Now I understand why that black children think that Jefferson Davis freed the slaves and Lincoln wanted to slave them, and that Israeli students are now pro-Hamas because Hamas is a good thing in America. I mean, it makes perfect sense now. They've just been taught all this stuff. So we need to start tagging these schools with the Board of Miseducation, because that's exactly what it is.
I totally agree. And you have to look at it, too, and think, you know, there's supposed to be standards, right? I mean, can they lose their accreditation for teaching something that defies logic and defies science and defies grammar? And it defines societal norms. Can they lose their accreditation, I wonder?
Well, they should. I mean, they're teaching misinformation, and everything's a big misinformation nowadays. So, you know, that should be, you know, looked at quite under a microscope, I think, because, you know, if anybody else says anything, it's misinformation, except for when they say actual misinformation and then tag it, oh, yeah, that's fine. That's things things have changed now. It's like the new math, you know. We do it a different way now, you know.
Yeah. No. I've seen that new math, and it makes no sense to me whatsoever. 2 + 2 = 4. I don't have to add, you know, 8 - 10 and then add another 12 to it in order to get back to 2. I don't know. No, thank you. I don't get it. But your point is well taken, and I don't know why there's not some national movement right now to say, well, I mean, we have a Department of Education, which is, you know, one of the first organizations within the U.S. government structure that needs to go away. But this is an abomination. This is not states' rights issues here. This is an abomination. This is an agenda being thrust on kids.
Yeah, we're going to have to get the government out of schools. That's the only way you're going to ever change this thing around is with the teachers unions and stuff and everything. Government should fund schools. Government should not run schools.
That's a great phrase. Can I put that on a T-shirt? I think that's a good one. All right, man, be safe on the road. We appreciate you.
Have a good one, Phil.
See you, buddy. I got to get some text messages, Butters. I'm like covered up. They date back to the beginning of the show here. So we'll see what we got.
You've been talking about some stuff.
It's had to cover some ground, dude. It's like big doings over here. Joe from Birmingham says, kids today play Please Don't Kick My Can. That is probably true. If you missed the beginning of the show, my opening monologue was on the old game Kick the Can and how I feel like we're playing Kick the Can with a cultural, progressives right now. Marcus from Huntsville says, I just updated my information on the national background check for reasons and was pleasantly surprised that under gender there were only 2 options, LOL. At least clearances regarding national security has not gone woke. Well, that's good to hear. That's actually encouraging. I mean, I had to go to the doctor's appointment sometime in the last 6 months. I forget which. You know, you fill out your forms, you know, when you're starting off. And like, have your insurance changed? No. Has this had? No. Have you changed your gender? What? I mean, my doctor's office is asking me how I identify on the forms that I have to fill out. I just chose not to even answer. I just went right on past it.
Can you imagine the investigator knocking on your former neighbor's door doing that periodic background check and like, yes, there's a lady that lived next to you. Well, I don't know. I've had guys that live next to me. I'm like, no, it's a lady. But yeah, I think that caused some confusion.
Yeah, I think it would. I had those, and I'm sure you did too. I had those periodic background investigations have to go on because of my TS clearance for years. And it'd be one of those things like, you know, I would. Somebody would show up at the front desk and my secretary would come and go, there's a man out front. He says he's a federal agent, needs to see you. And I was like, what? Oh, it's okay. He's just here to do a periodic background check.
Yeah, I was scared to have foreign national friends having to do that every 5 years. Like, you got to remember everybody. Oh, yeah.
I was working in the Pentagon and I had to go self-report because I was in communication with my former interpreter from Afghanistan.
So gender fluidness would... Yes, that would. I don't want more problems when I'm doing a background check.
But it's amazing who the Biden administration gives a clearance to. Yeah. Have you seen some of? I mean, anyway, we're digressing in a big way, but yes,
very quickly.
Sandy from Harvest says, "Snatch the Bacon" was my favorite. Learned it in the Boy Scouts. I don't recall that game. There you go. Merle from Huntsville says, "Gotta say, best opening of your show I have heard. Let's squash those cans." Thank you. Appreciate it, Merle. Brad from Limestone County says, we're talking about that Kick the Can episode of Twilight Zone. He says it was season 3, episode 21. Classic. He said it also receives an updated treatment in the 1984 Twilight Zone movie. He said, trivia, Dan Aykroyd appeared a couple of times in the movie. Also, Burgess Meredith, who appeared in some of the best Twilight Zone episodes back in the day, served as the narrator. This is a Twilight Zone fan right here.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I kind of hope you looked that up on the internet. But hey, I mean, if you're that into it, you've got that memorized. That's awesome.
Then again, he may just have like the entire collection. Who knows? Badger from Athens was sending me something earlier on. But he says, also, I would like to wish Brandy from Athens a happy 14th Ivory anniversary. Thanks for putting up with me. So you got some applause over there, brother. Hit some applause for Badger and Brandy from Athens having their 14th anniversary Congratulations to the both of you. Many, many more blessings on you. There you go. Wow, that crowd just stopped clapping all at one time. Jeff from Indiana did text in, by the way. He said, hey, Phil, is it true that Butter's alter ego is Professor Chaos? Is that true? Is your alter ego Professor Chaos?
Well, you know, it was kind of funny that that ended up being my call sign, completely disconnected from Professor Chaos. But yes, there were moments, especially my younger years in a squadron. But I'm chill, man.
Well, as long as Professor Chaos doesn't show up here in the Right Side studio, we're okay.
I think we're good.
Just saying. Mike from Athens says, my last physical, my nurse asked me a bunch of questions. The last one was, are there guns in the house? I said, none of your business, and that was that. He also says, all we need is men in the WNBA. The highest level women have, and let them dominate there, and this garbage will change. You know, there's a new movie out, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds very familiar. Daily Wire just came out with a movie called Lady Ballers, and it's about that very thing. It's about a loser men's basketball team that decides, wait a minute, we can do what? We can say that we're women and play against and win all the awards? And it's a comedy, but it's also designed to really poke fun at the denying reality that goes on all around us right now. All right, listen, text lines will remain open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. You want to call it or text it, it's the same number for both, 833-68-RIGHT. Before we go to the break, I got to tell you, during the breaks, you're going to hear ads playing. Always happens. That's the way it works. Well, the reason why is because Right Side Radio, we are a standalone business, y'all. We're not owned by the stations you might be listening to us on. Right Side is a standalone entity, and part of the way we support what we do and how we do it is by selling ads. So if you literally thinking, okay, Phil says he's got like over 30,000 listeners a week, and they're all Right Side ruffians, and I'm a Right Side ruffian, and I have some goods or services I want to sell, guess what? You may want to advertise to my Right Side ruffian audience. So if you want to advertise at Right Side, you don't call the station, you contact us directly, all right? You go to rightsideradio.org, that's our website, rightsideradio.org. Send us a message on the advertising tab. We will get back to you. Lauren is doing our sales, and she's amazing. So, yeah, you check it out. Send us a message. Advertise on Right Side Radio. Go to rightsideradio.org. All right, brother, let's go take the break, and we'll come back here in a minute. Kicking off Dipper number two, it's the Green New Steel. Like, did you know where all the money went? Well, neither does Congress, and they want to know. Who's spending money on these environmental justice groups? Yeah, it's not pretty. And oh, by the way, you know how they banned light bulbs, the regular light bulbs? They also made it illegal to even make them. We'll talk about all this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.